Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers, a network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills, and did I say job title? See how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan, and recently my colleague, friend, co-host, heterosexual life partner Charlie Harding did a live podcast in front of his students at NYU Steinhardt, interviewing the great singer, bandleader Joe Keery, aka Joe, DJO. It was such a cool conversation, and I'm here in Los Angeles, a professor at the USC Thornton School of Music, thinking, I'm feeling a little jealous. I want to do an amazing event for my students and release it as a podcast, and lo and behold, dear listener, I have succeeded beyond my wildest dreams because I was able to invite the incredible trio Truesdale, multi-instrumentalist singer, songwriters, and alumni of the USC Thornton School of Music, where I teach, back to campus to not only regale students with tales from the recording studio, from the tour bus, breaking down the inner minutiae of songs off their most recent album, Growing Pains, but they also performed two songs live. It was such an incredible experience and a huge win in my ongoing friendship slash competition with Charlie that I had to share it with you all. This is such a fun conversation and such a dose of beautiful music. Let's not waste any time except for me to tell you, go vote for us in the Signal Podcast Awards. There's a link in the show notes. We're nominated for Best Music Podcast and Best Sound Design. And besides that, there's nothing for me to say except let's give it up for Truesdale. I'm talking about Georgia, Quinn, and Lauren. Here's my conversation and their live performance.
Woo! Catching up to me each morning. Proud of how far I've come, but there's a long, long way to go. So I run the extra mile, and I do it with a smile, no problem. It's all work and it's no play, and there's too many growing pains. Growing pains, yeah. I'm taking out the trash. I'm learning how to crash my party. To that moment when it all makes so much sense. I'm making it through the tough times when it feels like I've been burning out, trying to build up the muscle so the hustle doesn't pull me down. I know that I should be seeing all the good, but it's all work and it's no play, and there's too many growing pains.
Play.
and there's too many growing pains.
All work and it's no play, and there's too many growing pains.
All work and it's no play, and there's too many growing pains.
All work and it's no play, and there's nothing like making it through the tough times when it feels like I've been burning out, trying to build up the muscle so the hustle doesn't pull me down.
Yes. Give it up for Truesdale. Making their triumphant return to the Carson Television Center stage.
Yeah.
Wow. Triumphant. Hell yeah.
What a treat. Thank you all for not only sharing your experience and insights with us, but also your voices and your instruments. It's really special.
Thank you for having us.
So that song is Growing Pains, which is the title track of your most recent album as well. Let's talk a little bit about this song, which is such a banger.
Thank you.
It's been stuck in my head for weeks as I've been preparing for this interview. No, it's okay. It's nice. It's nice to have in your head. Let's talk about like the origin, the genesis of this track. Do you remember what the first inkling of this song was, where it came from, and how you developed it into the performance that we just heard?
Well, we tend to talk a lot about our physical ailments.
Yeah.
Just as friends, we're just talking about like our backs hurting or our knees. This or like there's this weird thing on our skin or something. You know, I feel like it's just like a bonding thing that people do.
Yeah.
Or maybe just us. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh yeah, it's just growing pains, like getting older or whatever. And then we're like, oh, that could be a cool idea for a song. And we also were, you know, complaining about how hard it is to be an artist. which is also growing pains, and it just kind of came about through that conversation.
Yeah, in the past we've done a lot of writing, like a lot of blocked out time for writing, and we've been touring so much these past 2 years, and at that time I'm pretty sure we were like coming off of a pretty long tour, and we had like a couple days to write carved out, and we tend to write about what we're going through, like Lauren was saying, and part of I think what we were going through at that time, other than the physical ailments, was just adjusting to a life that we were really dreaming of, and all the work that we've been doing was to go tour. And so kind of balancing how happy we were about the progress, but also growing into the change and being like, wow, okay, this is such an accomplishment, but also this is an adjustment, and leaning into all the things that made it hard, and holding both of those two things. Yeah.
Right, because it's the song with lyrically, there's some heavy stuff going on.
Yeah.
But melodically, harmonically, rhythmically, it's really upbeat.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the music of the song helps you overcome the difficulty of the lyrics as a listener.
Hell yeah. I feel like there's still like a celebration of the growing pains in it, like in our conversations about it, and trying to make that shine through in the song of like, these things are hard, but they're new problems that we're having. They're good problems because there's growth, because we're doing more and trying to, even if we're not quite saying it lyrically, like there is something really beautiful and exciting about that, you know?
And I think it's like a song that none of us would write alone. It's a very Truesdale song to me. So we thought it'd be a good title for the album too, because it's so representative of what happens when we come together. It's so different than what any of us would write alone. And I think that ties into the upbeat nature of it, because it's just something that comes out when we're talking together and writing together, you know?
So you collaboratively create the song, its theme and its lyrics. I'd love to hear about the next step, the arrangement, because I think one of the things that's so enjoyable about your dynamic is how creative your approach to vocal harmonies is.
But it's all work and it's no play, and there's too many growing pains.
And it's a little atypical too, because I think frequently you'll find maybe in a group there'll be kind of one main singer and then the other singers support them. But with you all, it's very equal and everyone shares the load equally. So how do you get from when you have the song in place, how do you decide, okay, this is who's going to sing what part? This is where we're going to do the background vocals. Like, I'd love you to take us through that process a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like it's different every time, but since the beginning, we've been really intentional about keeping things even between the three of us. And sometimes to the point where it feels like overkill sometimes, especially to like other people that are not the three of us, even with like interviews when we, or like things that are going into our bio, if like there are quotes, we're like, all three of us need to be quoted. I think it's just because the outside sometimes tries to put one person at the forefront of like a lot of groups. And I think that's why you see that happening. So with the vocals, sometimes if there's like a certain part of the song that one of us feels even like emotionally attached to, or vocally, one of us wants to sing it, or the others will be like, you would sound really good doing that. Then like we go from there and we'll build the arrangement around it and just try to, I mean, on the last album, we really went in with like printed out lyrics highlighting like our colors, because we all wear like the same color. I mean, different colors, but the same, whatever, you know what I mean? And we were like color coding the lyrics, being like, okay, so that we have this many choruses and verses and just, but still trying to make it feel organic. And like, if something doesn't feel right to sing, then we won't sing it. Yeah. And then we build on the harmonies, I think just intuitively, like we'll just throw stuff in and then go in deeper.
Yes. I think something that we all feel very lucky to have is that all three of us really have a very similar taste. So like anything in a song that one of us really loves, the other one will be like, oh yeah, that is the best part of the song. Or like we all kind of feel like excited by the same kind of musical choices most of the time. I think that shows up in arranging as well, as like we're all just trying to serve the song, like the song comes first. And so in an essence, our voices are kind of secondary to that, because ultimately we're just trying to make the song the best it can be. And sometimes that just comes in the form of like arrangement. Like I know specifically for Growing Pains, we were all like, this needs to be like, this section needs to be like crazy harmony. None of us even really knew what it looked like yet, but we're like, it needs to sound like Queen and it needs to also be like Bruce Springsteen or like whatever, you know. We're kind of just forming this like acoustic picture in our minds. And then after that, we kind of do the diplomatic thing. And we're like, okay, who wants to sing what? Yeah. And let's split it up. And that part's kind of secondary. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the arrangement too is like the great equalizer, because we can be super creative with the arrangement. I think the fact that none of us is the lead, the arrangement is a way to really show all of our creative ideas in the song, even if it doesn't make it into the like main melody of the verse. Like having a cool arrangement part come in can be like, oh, like I love that part of the song, you know? Like what? It's just a way to get excited about all the different pieces.
With Growing Pains, I think one of the most exciting parts is the breakdown that we heard, or maybe the bridge is what I should call it.
All work and it's no play, and there's too many
growing pains.
All work and it's no play, and there's too many
growing pains.
All work and it's no play.
How did that come about? Because it's a moment where lyrically it's like kind of the same thing, and I think harmonically we're still in the same place, but the energy really shifts a lot, and then it brings you back into the final chorus in this really exciting way. So do you remember how you alighted on that particular breakdown? Or
I think we got some vague version of it when we were writing it.
You were playing the keys.
Yeah, I had been listening to Doctor My Eyes, Jackson Brown.
Doctor My Eyes have seen the years and the slow.
And there's like the pedal point, like low keys part that I just thought was sick. And then I also was listening to Grace Kelly. And it has the like, whatever. And so that I think was like also a part of it. And we were imagining like jokingly being like, oh, then it's gonna be like, ha, ha. And then
we wanted it to be some sort of like operatic kind of thing.
The demo's weird of it, because we were like, we can just try that. And then we're like, oh, actually kind of sounds like what we just did acoustically, if I'm going to be honest, because full band with like more voices sounds really sick.
So much of it is just confidence. If you do it with confidence, then it sounds okay.
Yeah, so you guys can decide that.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully. That section really came into full shape just when we were recording vocals. We took like 2 full days to do just the vocals for that song. And we were sort of piecing together. Quinn did a lot of the, like, Quinn is our, like, in-house vocal arranger extraordinaire.
Yeah.
So she does has a lot of a heavy hand in the vocal arranging for sure.
See, I think I used to for sure when, like, especially when we were in college here, and then it became more of. But that one, yeah, I just like recorded a bad demo of it the night before, and then we executed it far better.
My favorite thing is to just have these big ideas that I just throw at Quinn. I'm like, okay, it needs to be like this, and then blah blah blah, 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 and then I'm like, okay, can you do that now?
Hell yeah. I like that.
Well, that's why you're a good trio, because, you know, it's complementary.
Yes.
And that's what we like to hear.
Yeah. But then we had to do a live version of it too. Right. So the version that you just heard too is a boiled down version of what's on the record as well. That's an interesting thing in being a part of this band is like, well, especially with this record is like we recorded the whole thing first and we had never played any of the songs live before. So there was definitely a big moment of then rearranging the songs to fit in a live setting.
Huh.
Which I think this pop class definitely helped with doing that for sure.
So much.
You want to say that again?
Yeah.
Pop class. That's the stuff.
Sponsored by. Our name is Truesdale, which is kind of embarrassing coming back here and being like, our name is Truesdale. But we just did name it after the street.
We did.
Because we didn't think that we were going to be like continuing, like this was really going to be what we did.
Yeah. So,
and here we are.
Yeah. But, and I noticed in your bio, it says in parentheses, pronounced Truesdale.
Yeah.
Trooz.
Yeah, we get Trousdale a lot. Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
We get Trousdaled.
Was there some memory you have associated with Truesdale Parkway that led to it being the name of your group?
Yeah, it was our freshman year, and we were just sitting at the park that it was like around Parkside, and there's like the sculpture garden. It
doesn't exist anymore. Oh. So sad. It's by by Nectar.
Yeah. And like we were sitting by Truesdale Parkway, and we really just, at least we've told the story so much that actually this is not true. And we were imagining it, but I think we really were sitting by it and we're like, that would be fun. We were deciding between that. We also thought about the Sorrow Sisters, which is our sad folk alter ego now, and Carolina Blue, which is our country alter ego. So
good to have some alter egos for sure.
It's great options.
But I think Truesdale is the winner.
Thank you.
I did a little research about Truesdale. Apparently he was a real estate developer.
Really makes sense.
Yeah, in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, people really think, like, that don't know that we just went to USC, that we come from a lot of money, and...
I wish we did.
No, the most, like, financial association I have is the $150,000 of student debt I still owe to this school. But I'm so glad I went. I would do it all over again.
A couple more world tours, I think, and maybe
and
that'll be good.
Make a dent in that.
We're so grateful that we went here and met each other, and it was just the best.
So you mentioned creating a live arrangement from a studio arrangement. We just heard a live arrangement here. Let's listen to the studio version of a song now. Let's go to the next track on Growing Pains, Over and Over.
I don't need you to tell me that you're doing just fine. Unless you want to hurt. Healing takes time. Let me take mine. I don't need you to tell me that you're living your life just a little better without me. You make it so hard. Made it so far. Now you're breaking my heart. Over and over again. Ooh, ooh. Breaking my heart. Over and over again. Ooh, ooh. Over and over.
That slaps.
Thank you. It's a big testament to our bass player that played on that song, Gio. He really slaps the bass. You know what I'm saying?
I think for those who maybe only just heard Truesdale live, this is important to hear the full
context,
band experience. There's a lot. This is a very lush orchestration. I feel like there's a lot happening here. Let's use the song to talk about what happens when you have the song and then you go into the studio with folks like Gio and the other musicians. How does it go from the song to what we just heard, which is so complex and multi-layered?
Yeah, this was the first time we did it this way with this album. Our first album, we went in very piece by piece, and we had the songs. We had played them live a lot with a live band, but also just the three of us. And then I think, like, also for financial reasons, but the three of us produced it ourselves pretty much like in its entirety. And we would just have like one instrument at a time coming in and recording. And we do a million takes and have little pieces of things and overdubs. And then we'd go in and we would comp each thing and kind of put it together with the next instrument. And I think we learned a lot from that. And I think we're really proud of those songs. And for this album, we went in with the band and rehearsed with a band like we would have when we were in school. Like it, that's very much where we're comfortable already. And we'd really leaned on the musicians that we were playing with as well. And our co-producer who we brought on to the project, John Mark Nelson, who's amazing. I think that was a way to get everything really feeling organic and serving the song. Like Lauren said, we always talk about that. And not overdoing anything and not being like too specific and really just letting the band come together. And then we went in and we tracked drums, electric guitar, and bass at the same time in the studio, which I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with doing, being here where you will be. And then we went in with like overdubs and acoustic guitar and keys and all of that later. And so I think we just built upon it, but only what was needed, not like going too much and then pulling it back, which I think that was like a really big difference for us this time.
And from our previous album, from Out of My Mind, there's a song on it called Movie Star, and that was the first time we had worked with John Mark Nelson. Star,
your hands wrapped around my waist, nobody makes me feel this way. I never thought I'd land the part, I'm feeling like a movie star.
And he was such an amazing writer, which is just, I guess, like a fun example of like an unexpected collaborator that we stumbled upon in that album. And then because that experience was so positive and he was such a great collaborator, such an amazing communicator, made us all feel heard, we knew we wanted to keep working with him. And so he ended up co-producing all of Growing Pains, and Over and Over was his song Start, and he sent it to us and we absolutely just fell in love with it. And so I just think it's really important maybe to always know that you'll know when you have an incredible collaborator, because you'll be like, wow, that was a special experience. And it's not always like that, but when it is, like for us, he's just added so much to our musical journey. And I think this song, part of the reason it sounds the way it does is because he just added so much of his taste that aligned with so much of ours. And it was just a really cool collaboration that I think, you know, we're all super grateful for.
One thing I really like about this song is I feel like there's a lot of creative rhythmic choices in it. Like things kind of land in weird, unexpected places, a lot of offbeats and syncopations and anticipations, which is cool in itself. But then if you think about the lyrical message of the song, this idea of like something happening to you over and over again, this kind of Groundhog Day effect, I feel like the rhythmic instability is the musical corollary to that feeling. Can we listen? Can we listen to the chorus?
Yeah.
It's all in 4-4, I think, but then there are these places where you'll do like three measures of 4-4 and then go to the next phrase. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It kind of happens a little earlier than you expect. Mm-hmm. Was that a conscious choice or was that just something you intuited?
Yeah, that was. And I think even some of the anticipations, like they change throughout the choruses of like the second chorus, we anticipate the entrance, and halfway through we anticipate it again. But the like vocal rhythm doesn't change, and that was also like even just the three of us playing it live was like pretty tough, even though, and like there is the repetitive nature of the chords, like they're staying the same the entire time, and I feel like that is correlating with the over and over, but the rhythm on top of it and like doing that type of syncopation, like that was definitely majorly influenced by John Mark Nelson, he's also a percussionist, so like he really set us up there to have to play something. Honestly, it sounds like the repetitive part of it sounds simple, but it was really
that was
difficult for us.
Crazy to learn to sing and play that at the same time. It was definitely a like patting the head, rubbing the belly kind of vibe.
And trying to keep that syncopation and like the unexpected nature of the second verse too, and changing that up. I think, mm-hmm. That was all intentional.
Lauren and Quinn really had to take on the whole rhythm section when we were just in Europe and the UK, and they were doing, like, obviously piano and guitar doing what we just did. But that song in particular was so tough, and it's especially hard because we want to be like, Helen takes time, like moving with the fans and like shouting out the big moments. But if you do that, you just fuck up big time. Yeah. So
you have to concentrate. We can curse. Yeah, this okay. is this is a safe space for profanity.
Bless, amazing.
Brace the rudders. Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do another one.
Yeah.
Let's go. We're just going down the track list right now, folks. We're gonna hear Lonely Night. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. Please, please, please. Not the fade out, to be clear. But I'll take it. This feels like a good time to talk about some of the influences on your music. Like you mentioned Jackson Brown earlier. I would love to hear, like, what are some of the other musicians or albums that are in your ears when you're making Growing Pains? Yeah, and how you channel those into your own songwriting process. Like, and maybe we can take this song as an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, there's so many. We have such a wide range of influences between the three of us. But for this record, I was thinking a lot about Queen, Bruce Springsteen.
Journey.
Joni Mitchell. Oh, he said Journey.
Yeah.
Always thinking about Joni Mitchell.
Same, yeah. One and the same, really.
Journey and Joni Mitchell, same artist.
Synonymous.
Georgia? No, this is very off topic, but I have a tattoo. We were thinking about Bonnie Raitt. I feel like the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of Queen. I like agree with you. But I was getting my blood drawn the other day, and I have a tattoo of this Joni Mitchell song, All I Want. Or I got my blood drawn twice in the past 2 days, and both times I went, I was like looking away, blah, blah, blah. And the person both times said, "What do you want?" And I was like, "Oh my God, this is such a philosophical question you're asking right now." And then I realized it was my tattoo.
So we are, inspired by Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, Joni Mitchell. I feel like the 1975 a little bit.
Paul Simon.
Yep.
Bon Iver.
Kacey Musgraves.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sabrina Carpenter. I feel like we were listening to like pop music when we were making this album in terms of overall production elements that we were adding, mm-hmm. but we were really starting with like roots band, like Quinn was saying. We were doing it all with the whole band the whole time. So we
Civil Wars.
Civil Wars, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to think about like each individual song.
Yeah.
This one is more like straight down, like closer to straight down rock and roll than mm-hmm. I think what we normally do.
Yeah. John Mayer.
What mm-hmm. connects some of those bands you mentioned, especially the bands from like the 70s, is that I feel like there was...
Fleetwood Mac.
Eagles.
Okay. There was a syncretism. Like if you listen to like Fleetwood Mac is a good example. Like Fleetwood Mac is a rock band, but they're also kind of a country band. They're also kind of a pop band. And I feel like Truesdale and this album in particular, it's like when you listen to these songs, you're like, is it country? Is it rock? Is it pop? You know, you can't really like put your finger on
that's
it
in a
good way.
Yeah. Oh, thank
Hell
you.
Yeah.
And so that's a cool thing. I like drawing on that, though, some of those 70s influences to find that sort of expansiveness as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the nature of three-part harmony, I think people tend to associate that a lot with country music and Americana. So even just on its own, completely with no instrumentation, like a three-part harmony, people would say like, oh, that's country. And I mean, we all love country music too, mm-hmm. Certain elements of it. And it's interesting to hear what people compare us to. I think I just let other people decide for themselves at this point, because it is, influences are such a momentary thing. You know, it's like all the music I've ever heard in my life is probably an influence mm-hmm. to like this album yeah. and any music that we make.
There are definitely some songs where, because we all come from such different musical influences, like I grew up listening to a lot of funk and like R&B, and it's just fun in this band to be like, okay, this is definitely like a Lauren Starter, a Quinn Starter, George, like you can hear that I think on this album. But then when we come together, especially now having been in a band together for almost a little over 11 years now, right? We really lean into each of our sounds, and like we see through those ideas to the fullest, which I think we did. I'm really proud of how we did that on this album. Yeah. And this song is like definitely more country, I feel like. Oh, I was going to say, Lauren, your voice, even just the way you sing, you have like a country flair.
Yeah.
So I think that's also a through line in the music, which is cool, even if we're doing like a funk song. Like
yeah.
You're going to have a little country twang going on.
Totally. Do you ever have to tone certain elements down so it doesn't sound like too much in one of those yeah. lanes?
Yeah, we had a joking thing with Ben, who Ben Bram, he vocally... he helped vocal produce the album for us. He also went to USC years before us. But there was something where we had like a, there was some country thing that you were doing yeah. on something that wasn't country, but I can't remember what it was. Do you know what it was?
Oh, like there was like a name or something?
No, yeah, like we had a name for it, but then you were like, you were pronouncing something very country.
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's always my vocal note, is like, sing it how Lauren would sing it, not how...
Yeah,
like the record that I'm trying to sound like. That's mm-hmm. how I imagine someone singing it. It's usually like the way I try to sing it, but it always sounds better when you just kind of like find your own voice in the music.
Totally.
And you guys always give me that note, which is I really appreciate,
because you're so good. It's just you, girl.
I feel like I'm always just trying to sing like the Rascal Flatts. I
mean, it was the word can't. You just can't.
Can't.
Oh, so yeah. You had to like detwang it a
little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Detwang the can't.
Yeah. Let's do another. Let's yeah. Track 4, Want Me Back.
Tell me that you want me back. Say it doesn't end like that. Look me in the eye and fool me. Yeah, I can live with that. Tell me we were meant to be. Make a promise you won't keep.
Let's talk more about harmonies. And not just the notes that are in the harmonies, but the blend. What to you makes a successful harmony, getting your voices to come together and sound so full? Like, what does that process look like when you're rehearsing or writing? Or like, I want to know a little bit about what it's like to bring your voices together like that. Because it seems very, very unique.
I feel like the biggest thing is repetition, just in general. I think the same thing with rehearsing with a band, anything, repetition, I feel like is the most important thing, because we all just intuitively start to figure out what's going on and kind of come together in just like a more unanimous way without even talking about it. You can just feel that, especially with the years that we've spent singing together. I think that also adds to it. And then yeah, I think we talk about just listening to the other people more than to yourself is so important, and like really trying to figure out whose part is the most important and following them. And I think often we'll be like, how are you singing that vowel? Like, how are you doing this? Okay, like let's match it that way, and like putting it in this placement and really trying to figure that out. Honestly, I think repetition is the most important thing when you trust the people that you're in the room with and you all know what you're doing to a certain extent. If you just do it over and over again, it's naturally going to get really good. Honestly.
Yeah. I was just going to add, I feel like we've always been our worst critics. Yeah. And like from the beginning when we started singing together, I feel like even after we would practice a bunch, we would perform and then we'd be like, that was really bad. And then other people would be like, that was great.
I feel like, you know, so many of our like early, maybe like the first 5 years of us singing together, we would always do a show and be like, that was terrible.
So bad.
So we're like our hardest critics or worst critics. But I think it's changed so much because now when we first started, we were just singing together in a room and there was so much natural, just delicious, organic timbres and, you know, emotion. And it was so natural and so delicious. And now it's like so reliant on a sound engineer and your in-ear monitor mix and like getting that right.
Well, and the repetition, I would say, of being able to sing in harmony and blend through different mediums. Because I think, obviously, when you have a great sound engineer, like that makes the things a lot easier. But even when you do have a great sound engineer and you're just learning how to sing and blend in microphones for the first time versus like being just in a room together or being in ears and trying to get your mix right and then blending when you're just in your in ears, that you can't hear the room anymore either. So it's like all those things, like you just have to do a million times to really get it right. And I think we've also like performed in enough like really, really bad sound situations that like at a certain point, it just becomes muscle memory and you just kind of have to like rely on that.
Yeah. I feel like we'll also like not, for me, if I'm singing like the lower part, if you were to isolate it, I'm not fully pronouncing the words in a way that I would if I was singing a part on my own. That's like some weird kind of combination, but it's more to like fill the space than to be like, this is my part, Quinn, who's singing here. And then even recording on your own, then it kind of changes because you're really listening to yourself more. So it's really helpful to have like the harmonies in there because, yeah, it's not always about like you singing your voice. It's about you being like an instrument as well and like filling that space however it needs to be filled, even if it doesn't sound normal.
Well, I think there's something about being in a band. Like, and in fact, just on the Switch on Pop podcast on Tuesday, we had Phineas and Ash who have made this band called The Favors.
Yeah.
And all they wanted to talk about was like, because they're both solo artists, and Phineas obviously works with Billie Eilish, but they both have their solo careers, but they're talking about like how much more fun it is to be in a band and how you have someone both to hold you accountable and also to like help you finish a song or like come up with the word that you can't think of in a lyric. Yes. And keep you company on the road. And I hadn't really thought about that in that way, but we are at a moment historically where the solo artist has kind of ascended and bands have become a little more at the margins, at least of like the pop music world, I guess.
Totally.
And I feel like what everything you're saying is such a testament to like the power of being in a group together.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's so easy to get in your own way as a solo artist and take yourself so seriously to a point where it's not helpful to get the ideas that you have out there because, or it's just so overwhelming. There's so much pressure. You put too much pressure on yourself. You want to wait till it's perfect, like all that stuff. And I think when we first met in college, I remember for me, it was like, it was the fun thing in my day and everything else was so stressful. Never thought that it would be my career. Like truly never thought that at all.
Yeah.
And then I think now we all like kind of did our own little things after college. Like we didn't just leave school and do this. We like took some time. I did a solo project. Lauren did a solo project.
I worked on a cruise ship.
We worked on a cruise ship. And we came back together kind of like, oh shit, this is really special.
Yeah.
After kind of seeing how special it was by not doing it for a little bit. So to what you're saying, there's something so, so grounding about having other people around you that care about the project just as much as you do. And that has its difficulties as well because everybody cares so much. But I think the amount that we all care is a part of the joy and the safety and what keeps us going because we have each other to lean on. And like you're saying, on the road, so, so helpful to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also historically, like harmony is so important and like listening to people and connecting with people around you. I just think that that's like spiritually, like all of that is so important for the human experience. And with music and in this program, it can feel like really, I felt like it was super competitive when we were here and I felt a lot of pressure. And this has always been a reminder that like music is fun and all of it is like up to you. And like Quinn said, it's, if you like it, that's cool. And it's all just a journey, but having people in your corner that like the things that you like and that you can talk to about personal things, I think is how we've kept going all these years.
I feel like it also helps to like to separate yourself from what you're making a little bit too, like to be able to lean on each other in that way. It takes the ego out of it a little bit, just automatically, because it's not all you. It's not representative of who you are. And I feel like it's easier to do that even with your own stuff while you're working in this space. And like, if somebody hates our album, like, great, I don't care at all. And maybe if it was just my album, maybe I'd care a little bit more. But I'm like, well, it's not all me. It's probably
fault.
It's probably Georgia and Lauren's additions that they didn't like. And, but then when they love it, I'm like, it was definitely what I added. I'm sure. Just kidding. But you can really, you don't feel like it all falls on you.
Yeah.
But you can still celebrate in all of it. And I think that's beautiful. And also between the three of us, we can do so much. And we are very self-sufficient, which has been very helpful as like women in the music industry, being able to lean on each other of like, we can do all of those things, not needing people right away. And I think that helped us build a foundation by ourselves.
Yeah. I've thought about that a lot too, about how there's so many solo artists and not as many bands, or even like sometimes if the bands that are out there, they're like formulated, you know, somebody put them together. And I think the combination of people in a band is just as important as the entity of the band itself, because it is challenging. It can be hard. We've become like master communicators at this point. We're really good at having really hard conversations with each other and just being honest with how everybody's feeling, and also letting time fix some of those things as well. There's definitely a reason why like addiction is such a common affliction among musicians, is because I think it's just such, especially touring musicians, it's such a unrealistic lifestyle. Like, I think it's really just crazy. Like, I think maybe the last year or so, we've now just started to get a glimpse of like what it really feels like to be full-time touring artist. And it's so difficult, like it physically, mentally, in all those ways. And having your friends around you when those things like really hit the fan, I think is just so invaluable.
Beautifully said. Let's do another tune. And maybe we'll do it a little backwards this time. While Trey sets up the mic stands, you can tell us about the song we're about to hear, which is Secondhand Smoke. What's the origin story for this one?
We wrote it with two other people, one who went to USC as well, Adam Yaron, and Mags Duval. And we had gone in, I don't think we had like exactly an idea. We were just kind of throwing around some melodic and lyrical things. And I misheard Lauren and Georgia. They were singing some part of like the beginning of the chorus, and they said the word fighter, but I thought they said fire. And then I was like, oh, I have like a title idea that I was thinking about that could go well with it, and like about fire. And we kind of just went from there. And we were talking about, you know, not just our own experiences and being in relationships that are unhealthy and taking more from you, and kind of trying to relate that more just like universally of like, it doesn't have to be a romantic thing. Maybe it is for some people, but maybe it's about family, you know, maybe it's about addiction, and just knowing when to like step away from something and how difficult that can be when you love that person. And trying like the question of, if I'm staying in this right now, does that make me really strong, or does that make me the weak one or the stupid one or the fool for staying in it? And like, there's not really a right answer to that, but kind of just going off of that question really. Shall we hit
it? Yeah, we shall. Let's do it.
I know you're too stubborn to change. You know I'm too stubborn to walk away. You know how to take. I know how to give you my all. It's how you keep fanning the flames. It's how you make sure that I feel your pain. And no one else knows what's between me and these walls. If I stay a little bit longer, does it make me a fighter? Does it make me a fool? If I wait for you to put out this fire, is it a matter of time till I burn? Is your secondhand smoke gonna kill me too? Ooh. give a damn, but I'm still here trying to save what we have left. You know I don't want to let go. It's killing you slow, now it's killing us both. Killing us both. Doesn't make me a fool. If I wait for you to put out this fire, is it a matter of time till I burn with you? Is your secondhand smoke gonna kill me too? Is it a matter of time till I burn with you? Is your secondhand smoke gonna kill me too?
Switched on Pop is a production of Vulture and the Vox Media Podcast Network. This episode was edited, engineered, and mixed by the great Bill Lance. Rihanna Cruz is our producer. Brandon McFarland is our regular engineer. Charlie Harding provides eye candy, and Lissa Soap is our wonderful editor. We'll have a brand new episode out on Tuesday, or should I say Tuesday? I'm sorry. And until then, all that remains for me to say is go vote for us in the Signal Awards, link in the show notes, and thanks for listening.